God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Sunday, the fourth day of September 2011, and you're listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Our sermon is presented by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and is entitled, Enjoy. Thanks for listening, and we know you'll be blessed from God's Word.
You ask me why I'm smiling, you ask me why I'm free, why it seems I have no worries, and I live a life of ease. Well, believe me when I tell you, I've seen the strong winds blow, but when I need a shelter, I have a place to go. Again in His arms, again I'm safe from harm. I will run to Jesus again. Again I'm drawing near, and again I'm free from fear. Like a child who knows when danger's closing in, I will run to Jesus again. Who else is there to help me when I am in need? And who else is there to strengthen when I am tired and weak? And who else can give protection until the storm subsides? There's no one else like Jesus, so I will run and hide. Again in His arms, again Jesus again. Again I'm drawing near, and again I'm free from fear. Like a child who knows when danger's closing in, I will run to Jesus again. Again. Like a child who knows when danger's closing in, I will run to Jesus again and again. I will run to Jesus again.
Amen. Well, we are continuing on with our Choose What Is Better series. We've got a couple more messages finished up here in September. We've been in that series literally all summer long. And so if you've not been with us, you've missed out on God showing us what is better for our life. I like the fact that we can go through Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And there's other parts of the Bible as well, but particularly those two areas. And God says, you know, everyone thinks this is good or this is better. And God says, I've got something better for you. And the wisdom of God showing us what is the best things in life. And so I've been excited to go through that series. Today, really, I'm going to be nice to you. I know. Don't be shocked. And this is going to be just a nice, encouraging message. And it's Labor Day, and I came across this and said, you know what? This will be good. So those that showed up today, pastor's going to be nice. There's no other way to say it. But it also fits one of my favorite words. If you've been around here long enough, probably my favorite word is enjoy. Yes. And today I want to teach you how to enjoy because I think it's important. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Now, we're coming in that transitional time where the air conditioners are now working. It was summer, 100 degrees. You never know what was going to happen. So now it's working. So I just encourage our ladies, bring a sweater to every service. It's easier to bear that way. If it gets too cold, I guess we yell at Brother Robin. He can turn them up. I don't know. So if you see people shivering, I guess if Debbie starts shivering, you know, then you know to turn them up or something. But I would bring a sweater for the next couple months as we're going through that transition. Everything's on automatic, so you never know how cold it's going to be or how warm, all that kind of fun stuff. So Ecclesiastes 2. Why don't we stand? I like Ecclesiastes. Solomon writes as the wisest man that ever lived, and he shares his pursuit of understanding life and the experiences. Now, let me clarify. Even Solomon isn't saying, try what I tried, okay? Solomon decided in his wisdom to try everything in life, and then God used that to record what life was about. Now, I like to be smart. I didn't say I'm always smart. I said I like to be smart. There's a big difference. But I'm a firm believer, rather than repeating someone else's mistakes, you learn from them. Yeah, so if the person next to you is a real dummy, you can learn a lot from them, amen? So I don't believe in doing what they did. I just learned from them, you know. So, hey, they tried this. It blew up in their face. I don't think I'll do that. Well, Solomon tried everything in life. He ended up coming to the end saying, all is vanity except, what is it? Fear God, keep his commandments. He says, without God and following God, there's really no purpose. But he recorded that thought process in Ecclesiastes over and over again. Today, we want to look at work. Yep, hard work and labor. And being Labor Day, I thought it'd be interesting as I saw this, that we'd go ahead and cover this. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We're going to pick it up in verse 17 and see what the individual really called the preacher, Solomon, wrote about hard work. Verse 17 says, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I'm here to encourage you. You're not alone. Great verse, huh? I thought you said you're going to be encouraging. I am. See, Solomon did what you did. He hated work. He realized, why am I working, man? He goes on, verse 18. Yea, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity or emptiness. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom, and in knowledge, and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. For this also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. Verse 24. There is nothing better. Here it is. Better is. For there is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. I'm thinking about making this my favorite verse. Let's read it again. There is nothing better for man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, look at this, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Lord, we come to you now. We understand from Genesis 3, Lord, that we will work by the sweat of our brow. Toil and labor will be a part of our life. Lord, today may we be encouraged to find the purpose in such work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Well, traditionally, Labor Day is that time when you get a break from work. Although I got to tell you, growing up, Dad always said Labor Day was a time to work. Yeah, I never understood that until I got older. He lied to us all those days. It's Labor Day, kids. You're supposed to work for a living. But the fact of the matter is, in America, we celebrate those who work hard, and it's a day off, supposed to be a break from the labor, the toil, all that you do. course, I know we have several traveling this weekend and utilizing that time and the extra weekend and so forth and relaxing, enjoying. And I know it's going to surprise you, but I want to encourage you today in this area of work. Now, listen, I do believe biblically, and you want to follow the whole message here, biblically, we should work hard, okay? It is an honor to work hard. Matter of fact, I remember the Bible in Proverbs talks about the sluggard, the lazy man. I wrote down a few verses, Proverbs 6:9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Some of you are really diligent. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he shall beg and harvest and have nothing. You know, what's it saying? Well, God throughout Proverbs, those are just a few verses, said, hey, if you're lazy, you're going to be poor. And you're going to have a miserable life if you're lazy. He says, don't be a sluggard, work hard. So as we get into the message, I don't want you to misinterpret the message. God wants us to be hard workers. I tell you what, I admire hard workers. I cannot stand it when people are lazy. I'm thinking, man, if you lose your job, get another. Well, I can't find anything. Well, flip burgers at McDonald's. I'm too proud. Well, don't be too proud. Get a job. I'd rather flip burgers than starve. I'll tell you what. Really, what's the big deal? You know, so I appreciate being around people that if they got to work two jobs to support their family, they work two jobs. They do what it takes. I mean, that's what I'm used to growing up around. And I'm going to tell you something. For the next generation, those aren't bad attributes. It is not wrong to be a hard worker. Oh, I understand sometimes we work too much. I understand sometimes people go to an extreme. We're prone to extremes. I get that. But the fact of the matter is God is not saying working hard is bad. And neither is the preacher saying that working hard is bad. Oh, wait a minute. He says it's vexation of spirit. What's he saying? Well, let's take a look at it today. We want to talk about work and labor today and the importance of it and really the blessings of it and what God says about our labor. First of all, I do want to talk about the sorrows of labor. I thought I'd go ahead and depress you at first. I want to remind you just how useless it is to get up every Monday and go to work. Isn't that exciting? If you look at the preacher, that's what he's saying. Verse 17, therefore I hated life. Why? Because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all this vanity and vexation, he repeats it in verse 18. I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And then he says in the next verse, and I don't know if he's smart or an idiot. In other words, I build my business, and I turn it over to someone, and I could get a fool that destroys the whole thing. You know, and all my labor, all my endeavor, all my purpose is destroyed. And he says, I can't control it. Why? Because I'm in the grave. He says, so what's the use of working hard and building up and gaining if the next person's going to destroy it? He begins to go over this sorrow that he had for work. Three things I thought about here. First of all, the sorrow in the getting of them. The sorrow in the getting, gaining of things through labor. You say, what's the sorrow? It is hard work. I'm telling you, if you're going to work, you have to toil, you have to sweat. Genesis 3 said that. In order to get stuff, it takes work. I understand some people are born into money. Some people are born into riches. I'm looking out here and I don't see that. What I'm seeing in Ponca City is if you have something, you probably had to work for it. And you probably had to work hard for it. Why? That's just part of it, hard work and toil. And the psalmist is saying here, at least the preacher here is saying, hey, you have to labor and you have to labor hard. Secondly, when I think about labor, I thought sorrow in labor because it's hard to keep what you make. You remember the guy in the New Testament that built the barns? And he filled it up and he says, then I'm going to retire, and died. You know, that's exciting, isn't it? I got to be honest with you. I've watched that, and I probably have a little bit different philosophy than most people. Because I realize life is short. I get that. But I realize I've watched people work all their life, never do anything, never enjoy anything hardly in life. And they work and they work and they finally retire at 65, 70. And they say, we're going to travel. And they have a heart attack. And they die. And I thought, that's useless. You know, or they get sick. I mean, seriously. But that's kind of how our generation is designed. Work for 50 years and then enjoy at the end. Can I help you? I've seen some people at 70. They don't look good. Not all of you. Some of you look okay. But this is what I see at 70. Here, let me help you. I mean, really. So you work all your life, you build up, and then you're going to travel and enjoy at 70 years old. Really? Are you sure? Now, you say, yeah, but some people do it. Yeah, some do, and it works good. But I tell you what, we don't have that guarantee. You have no idea how long you're going to live and how long you're going to be alive. Does not the Bible say our life is a vapor that appears for a little time? Who knows? So not only is it sorrow in getting things and working, it's sorrow in keeping them. You know, we've been in a recession, and many people that had retirement built up to travel, to do things, gone. How many people in their 60s and 70s are going back to work? Because we have to. We have no choice. And it wasn't because they're bad planners. It's what? It's life, folks. Life comes. You can labor all your life, work really hard, and everything been taken away. That's depressing. So those of you getting ready to retire, I just depressed you. Praise God. You say, thank you for the encouraging message, preacher. Well, that's a fact. None of that, I wrote down this. Sorrow in parting with them. In other words, you work all your life, you build something up, and the psalmist is complaining, saying, you know what? How do I know that the guy I leave it to is going to treat it right? Look at verse 21. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and knowledge. He does it right. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein, shall he leave it for his portion? There's someone who builds it and builds it up and does all the work and all the labor. And then you leave it to the next generation and they destroy it. I mean, they waste the goods. Kind of like the rich man and the two sons. Remember the prodigal son? Dad works all of his life. Prodigal son says, come give me my goods. And he wastes it all. Dad had to be really excited about that. Set him up for life, and in a short time, all gone. Well, really, the preacher's sitting there going, really, why do we work? And I want to ask you, why do we work? Have you ever thought about it? You get up, you do the same thing every single day. Monday through Friday, some of you, Monday through Saturday, you work hard, you sweat, you come home, you eat some dinner, you take a nap, then you go to bed. You wake up in the morning, you eat, you get dressed, you do it again and again and again. For what? Well, to buy things you don't get to enjoy. You ever thought about that? I got this big house and I got this big property. What do you do with it? Not a thing. Not a thing. Why? Because I'm working just to keep it. So one day I can enjoy it. But of course now I'm too sick to enjoy it. And I'm probably going to die before I enjoy it. Isn't this an encouraging message? I read this saying, you're going to be so happy when we're done. You know? But if you ever think about work sometimes, I've stopped sometimes saying, why? Why? Why do I mow my grass? It comes back again. Really? That's why I hate making the bed. Why do you make the bed in the morning? You're back in it that night? Really? And who goes in your room? No one. Really? I don't want anybody in my bedroom. Nobody comes in. So why make the bed? It's a useless toil. Are you listening, honey? Not a bit. Okay. Thought I'd throw this in during the labor part, but it's not working. But there's a lot of toils, you know, from mowing the lawn to keeping up the yard, all these things that happen. Yeah, I've got a battle with my yard right now. So proud. All summer, I've got fescue I put in my backyard. And man, I've worked for 3 months to keep this stuff alive. There is no greater joy right now for me in my yard than to walk outside and it's green. It's been 100 degrees for 50 days. There's something inside that says, I've won. This week, I walked out there, half of it's dead. I was so mad. I went to Lowe's yesterday, bought seed, replanted seed. People said, too early. I don't care. You said, why? I am fighting and I'm going to win this battle. I want green grass in November. I know you're going to drive by my house and check it out. It's the backyard only. Let the front yard go, okay? But for some reason, I'm just so bent because my neighbor said they've never had grass there. And it always dies off. And I'm like, not this year, man. This year, the Waterloo family has grass in the backyard all year long. You say, that's stupid. I know, but that's life. Because when you really think about it, that is dumb. I'm costing water and time, but you know what? Don't we do that? We put all our time into something that really, what does it matter? Okay? It really doesn't. And the sad reality is, it'll probably die. Probably by January, gone. And I'm going to be a very depressed pastor. I want you to know that right now. And probably every year I'll be reseeding or sodding. Why? It's just a cycle of life, folks. And what the preacher is saying is, hey, welcome to life. And if you've ever stopped and thought about it, you know that's true. Some of you worked for 30, 40 years, and you're stopping going, why? What have I accomplished? What have I done? Huh. Now, most of you think Christianity is boring and God hates you. I'm getting ready to change the message and tell you that's not true. You say, why? Well, if we stopped right there, as the preacher did, he said it's vexation, it's vanity, it's emptiness. Why do we get up every day? Why do we work hard? Why do we achieve things? We built this building, and man, we've worked hard, and we're still paying it off, and people are sacrificing, and yet a tornado could take it out one day. And even as we're still paying it off, things start breaking down. You say, why? Well, that's just a cycle. Well, why are we doing it? I'm going to tell you why. Well, why, preacher? Let's take a look at the next verse here, verse 24. After he said all is vanity in verse 23, he said, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. Why? This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. Can I encourage you today? I don't want to just talk about the sorrow of labor. I want to talk about the soulless of labor. I want to talk about the comfort of labor. You know, God designed us to work hard because there is purpose in what we do. And believe it or not, God, are you ready? God wants you, here it comes, this is a big one. God wants you to enjoy life. Now for some of you, you're going to have to listen to this message about 20 times. Some of you as believers don't get this. For some reason, there's different philosophies in Christianity today. You have the ascetics, and basically this is the group that believes you should never enjoy life. Any pleasure should be abandoned because it's totally ungodly. If you have any joy at all, if you enjoy anything, if you like Pepsi, don't drink it. Why? Because if you do, it's a sin. You should work hard. You should sweat hard. You should never enjoy anything. You should walk around with a, woe's me, life is hard. But one day in heaven, praise God, it'll be happy. Yeah, and all the lost people are looking at you going, ooh, I want that. Really, if you were lost without God and saw a whole bunch of Christians walking around with an ascetic point of view, why would you want that? See, I got a sanguine personality. That would so turn me off. If all I saw was you working hard and complaining all day long and saying, this is just my lot in life, and oh, I can't enjoy, and if I drink something that tastes good, I'm bad. If I sit down and watch a movie, oh, I'm wicked. If I do anything that enjoys. The Bible doesn't say that. Now, the fact of the matter is, you don't need to live a life totally void of any enjoyment. On the other end, though, Epicureanism says, do whatever you want and have fun. Okay? We are so prone to extremes. It's like we live with, I can't do anything, or I'll do whatever I want and forget about God. Now, can I remind you, this is God speaking. So if you're thinking about indulging in life, let it go. Okay, this does not contradict temperance. This does not contradict anything God says about what we can and cannot do. What he is saying is very simply this. Life can be enjoyed. Why? Because God created it and God provided for it. And as time as believers, as we look at this Labor Day, can I tell you? It's not sin to enjoy life. It's not sin. And can I help you real quick? You just heard about this missionary, heard our other missionaries this week. You know, we live in one of the happiest places on the face of the earth. I know Disney World claims that, but I'm just saying right now, outside of that, I'm serious. Yeah, I was thinking, I'm listening to the missionary, we were talking yesterday. I'm not afraid to get in my car at 9 o'clock at night and drive to the church. Nobody points semi-automatic weapons at me. Not yet, at least. I've not been robbed on the way to church. Not that it can never happen, but it's not a fear of mine. It's really not. I get to get up and enjoy many pleasures and luxuries living in America. Do you know God could have had you born anywhere he wanted? Are you aware of this? If anybody should be happy, we should realize this. The Bible tells us that God is the one that places us. That God is the one that places us where we're going to be and gives us what we have. For whatever reason, God decided that you and I would be born in the United States of America. We would live in the richest nation on the face of the earth, which means we should be more grateful, more excited about this life than most people on the planet. Can I help you? You and I have no right to walk around with our head down saying, woe's me. Even our worst day is a lot of the world's best day. Oh, my car broke down. Most don't have one. My air conditioning went out. Most don't have air conditioning. You know, oh, man, my Starbucks card ran out. Okay, now that is bad. I'm going to tell you something right now. That changes everything. Can't believe I said that. But you see what I'm saying? We live that way. It's like, oh, things are so bad. Really? Now, we live in such luxury. And again, can I help you? Don't take the message wrong. I'm not talking about indulging, but I'm just saying you and I live in normal luxury that the world doesn't understand because we live in America. Guess what I'm saying? The Bible says in verse 24, there is nothing better for a man that he should eat, drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy his labor. Can I help you? Enjoy what God's given you. Did you just say that from the pulpit? Yes, I did. You want us to like life? That's what I'm saying. Why? You know what happens when you like life? Let me put it in this context. Nothing makes me happier than my wife enjoys life. Think about it. Now, men, you can probably relate to this. When my wife is happy, you know the old saying? I'm happy. But really, you know what I appreciate? I appreciate that when I work hard and I pay the light bill and I pay for the house and we bring food home, that my wife enjoys life. No, I'm serious. I'm just going to help you real quick. So I'm putting in all these hours. I'm working hard to provide a living for our family. Could I tell you what I couldn't stand that would bother me? If my wife was a complainer, the thought would come to my mind, why am I working so hard? I'm doing the best that I can. I'm working as hard as I can. And I praise God. Seriously, I have a wife that she is so easy to please. Seriously, she is happy with whatever takes place. You know what that makes me do? I want to work more. I want to provide more for her. Why? Because she's happy. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If she wasn't, why would I want to do any more? Ladies, this is a benefit for you right now. See, you don't understand how men work. If you complain, your complaining doesn't motivate me to do more. You say, what does your complaining motivate you to do? Less. Your complaining motivates me to watch more football. You said, why? Because my thought is, what's the use of doing anything you want? You're just going to complain anyways. Stop and think about that. So one of my greatest joys is that she appreciates what I do and appreciates life. I like that. Now let's translate that. How do you think God feels when he plants you in the richest nation on the face of the earth? And he provides for you. And yes, you have to work. And yes, you have to work hard. But your labor brings you more than what most people have. And we don't appreciate it and enjoy it. Again, am I saying, okay, everybody out of church and just party? I think if you know your Bible, that's not true. No, we're not going to that extreme. You should be in the house of God, worshiping, serving. We're going to cover that here in just a second. But I am saying this. The Bible says, oh, you know what? If you work hard, enjoy your life. Enjoy the fruit of your labor. If you work for it, it's okay to enjoy it. It's okay to have something. It's okay to enjoy what you have. Under the guidelines of Scripture, of course. We don't have time to go over all the Scriptures. Hoping some of you are mature enough to know the Word of God. We're not talking about indulgence and wicked stuff. But under, hey, I've worked hard. I can enjoy my home. I can enjoy my car. I can enjoy some of the pleasure. I can enjoy carpet. Praise God. If I've worked hard, I have the money to get it. It's okay. You say, why? It's one of our, are you ready? I know that this is a good part. It's one of the ways we thank God. What are you saying? I firmly believe when you enjoy life, you're giving praise to God who provided it for you. Why? Because really, he gave you the strength to work. He gave you the provisions. And I'm telling you right now, when my wife and kids enjoy, when I take them on vacation, you know what I want to hear? Woo, this is a blast, Dad. I don't want, really? Or this is all we're doing. Oh, I want, yes, I love this. And when they like it, I like it. For my birthday, Brenda goes, Friday night was my birthday, so I took the family to Texas Roadhouse in Stillwater. I bought them dinner. When they got done, I took the ladies shopping. When we got done with that, I took them out for ice cream. And they said, but wait a minute, this is your birthday. And they said, why are we getting everything on your birthday? Well, little did they know, Christmas is coming, so I'm just prepping. But anyways, but I told them, I had more fun doing that than receiving any gifts. I'm just going to tell you right now. The fun for me that day was to see the family having a blast on Friday night. And just relaxing. No stress, no worries. We just drove around a little bit in Stillwater, ate some food, ate some ice cream, came home. Everybody was smiling, saying, what a great day. And I thought, that's a good birthday. Now wait, I'm just a simple human being. How do you think God feels when he places you in Ponca City and gives you a good job? And yeah, you got to work hard. That's part of life. Who doesn't have to work hard? But from that, you get to enjoy some of the greatest pleasures. Do you realize you and I live like kings? If you go back into history, every one of us lives like kings and queens. And we walk around sometimes with our head down going, woe's me. Can I just help you? Are you ready? The pastor's going to give you permission. It's time to enjoy. Well, how do I do that? It's okay to take a day off and say, thank you, God. It's okay to enjoy life. Well, once again, is it within bounds? Well, sure. Yeah, within biblical bounds, you betcha. But it's okay. Why? Because the Bible says, verse 24, God gave it to you. And God wants you to enjoy. So let me help you. Let me free some of you. Now, some of you have no problem with this. You enjoy a little bit too much. This message isn't for you. But for some of you, it's just work hard. Your life's just a toil and all this stuff. But as I looked at this, let me go a little step further. Look at verse 24. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink. He should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather, to heap, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. It says, hey, if you don't want to serve God, though, and here's the context. Live and enjoy life, but under this guideline, for God. Colossians 3 says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So here's kind of the, you could say, kind of the principle that goes with this. He's not just giving you freedom to go, whoa, party, do whatever you want. He says, I want you to enjoy, I want you to work hard, but do it for this reason. If you do it for God and you do it with God, then are you ready? You can enjoy. Because now here's the thing. When I get up and work every day, I'm not just working for me and for some fool that may be after me that may ruin it. Everything I'm doing for God. You know what that means? I get blessed here. And are you ready? And there. Because I have a higher purpose. Well, yeah, but I'm just working a job. I'm not in the ministry. You don't understand. If you work and you give it your best and you do it in the name of God and for God, if you're a school teacher, if you're a janitor, God says, praise God, you're rewarded for that. It gives purpose to what you do. So I can get up every day and realize that, hey, God gave me the ability, the talent. And he said, God gave it to me. And if I serve him and do it for him and enjoy this life with him and for him, he will give me good. But to the sinner, to the man who abandons God and just enjoys life without him, did you read the last verse? I will give them travail. What? Almighty God says, okay, you want to work hard and you don't want to serve me. You don't want to be in the house of God. You don't want to worship me. You want to do something for me. Let me help you. I can make sure that whatever you do becomes vanity. You know why some believers are miserable? Can I tell you? You forgot about God. You've taken this gift that he's given us, this joy that he's given us. We don't give anything back to him. We don't serve others. And we don't share our faith. And God says, you want to be that selfish? You won't enjoy. And I'll make sure all your labor, you're working up for something and you're getting there. I'll even let you get it sometimes and I'll go, take it away. You read that in Malachi 3 is a similar principle. He says, hey, tithe, give your tithe unto me. He says, if you don't, Malachi 3:10 says, I'll let the devourer. I'll just let Satan have you. God says, I won't take it. I'll just release Satan to say, do whatever you want. That means all your work, everything you try to do, God says, I don't care. You'll work 2-3 jobs and I'll make sure you're making less. You ever see people do that? I have. I've seen people working 2-3 jobs and their income is higher, but they're miserable. They got so much trouble going on, it's not even funny. Why? They're not honoring God and following his principles. Well, I thought you said to work hard and enjoy. I did. As long as you do it with God and for God. The secret's very clear. The preacher said, when I did it for myself, I said, what's the purpose? But when I did it under the purpose of God, he said, this is great. I got to tell you, seriously, is work hard? You betcha. Believe it or not, your pastor sweats sometimes. You betcha it is. Work is very hard. You say, why do we do it? For the glory of God. Because I know that one day God will reward. We'll talk about that in the second hour this afternoon. But I know that I get something for it. Not only that, I get to enjoy the fruit of my labor. It's okay to enjoy some things. It's not sinful. See, I give to God. I tithe. I give building. I give mission. I give all that. That's why I don't feel guilty every once in a while. When you see me at Starbucks, and some of you are going, that costs $5 a cup of coffee. I don't care. I'm going to help you real quick. You can say all you want. First of all, you don't understand. 90% of that is from you. Yeah. I use gift cards. You know what I ask for my birthday? Starbucks. What do you ask for Christmas? Starbucks. The hardest time of my life is January through about August. Why? I don't have anything going on. You have no heart. Seriously, it's hard for me to spend my own money on that. Why? It's expensive. Seriously. Some people, you go every day? Do I look dumb to you? I'm not spending my money on that stuff every day. I go about once or twice a week. Why? It's good. That's all I can afford. You feel bad? Not a bit. You say, what? Why? I don't care what you say. You say, why? I serve God. I give faithfully to God. I give him first. Okay, so I'm involved in every ministry of this church very heavily. And we're not saying that to brag on ourselves. We're saying, it don't bother me. She says, you drive a nice car. I like your car. So do I. Is it wrong? Not a bit. But as if it is if I'm not going to serve God. It is if I'm not going to give to God. It is if I'm not going to do right. So you betcha, if I'm going to be stingy and not do what I'm supposed to do, it is wrong. And by the way, I'm going to have much travail in it. But if I'm serving God and living for God, God says, well, it's okay to enjoy some life. It's okay. You say, why? Because he is God and he loves you. And he designed it this way. And above all, in case you've forgotten, he planted you in one of the best places to live. If you don't know that, talk to some of our missionaries. If you have a problem with America, move to Turkey. Move to Monterey. Might just change your attitude. Well, you say you like everything about America? Uh-uh. But I'd rather live here than anywhere else. And I have more pleasure and more enjoyment here than probably any other country that I could live in. And you know why? Him. And it's time today we start thanking him. And one of the ways we thank him is just enjoy the fruit of your labor in a proper way, giving honor to God, putting him first like we should. With what is left, it's okay to enjoy. Why? Because he is God and he said so. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, we come to now. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for the day. Oh, we thank you for the encouragement of your word, Lord, that if we work hard and we're involved in serving you and putting you first. As you said here, the preacher realized, Lord, that you're the one who gives us talents. You place us where we're at. You give us the ability to work hard. And if we do it for you, if we do it remembering your biblical principles, then, Lord, you will bring us good. But then he talks about the sinner, those who, Lord, decide not to follow your principles. Their work and their toil will be vanity, emptiness. They'll work all their life for nothing. They will have nothing at the end of their life to speak of. And if they do, it will be given to someone who will destroy it. But Lord, we have greater promises that we'll even talk about in the second hour. Greater promises from you, Lord. I just think it's time for us to realize that one of the ways that we can honor you is to appreciate the life that you've given us. That doesn't mean to indulge in improper indulgences, to be selfish. Anybody that knows the Bible knows it doesn't preach that. But at the same time, Lord, we can have a balance. The preacher teaches us a balance. To work hard, to serve God, and enjoy whatever life God's given us. Lord, today we just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you for allowing us to enjoy this life. Lord, we probably won't understand just all that you've done until we get to heaven, but today we just want to thank you on Labor Day for all the labor you've done so that we might have a good life. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if you just want to come, thank the Lord. You say, how do you do an invitation? If you just feel like thanking the Lord for what he's given you, what he's done, this is a good day to do that. Now, of course, if you need to know some more about God and who he is, we'd love to talk to you about that. You need to be baptized, we'd love to talk to you about that. Didn't preach on that today, but we talked to you about those things, of course. But today, we're just going to call the invitation as a good day to just say, God, thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to do my best to start enjoying properly, not to be indulgent, not to be ridiculous, but to enjoy life so that you will be honored and glorified. As we sing, page 39, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, we wish you God's blessings, we wish you a great week, and we thank you again for listening.